Let's read together Isaiah chapters 17 and 18. In these chapters, we have God's pronouncement of judgment on the foreign nations of Syria in chapter 17 and on Ethiopia in chapter 18. Let's read chapter 17, where we have God's pronouncement of judgment on Damascus, which was the capital of Syria. Let's begin by reading the first three verses. The burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The fortress will also cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Isaiah chapter 17, with some background notes. Why is Ephraim mentioned in verse 3? Answer. Because Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel, also known as Ephraim for its major tribe, formed an alliance together against Assyria. Furthermore, they tried to force the southern kingdom of Judah to join them in this alliance against Assyria. Remember, we read about this situation back in Isaiah chapter 7. And here in Isaiah chapter 17, we have that same prediction. Damascus would become a fallen ruin, verse 1. The fortress also will cease from Ephraim, verse 3. And of course, all of this came true. Assyria conquered Damascus and Syria in 732 BC. And they conquered Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, 10 years later in 722 BC. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord pronounced judgment against Syria. The Lord pronounced judgment against Syria. Let's read the rest of chapter 17, verses 4 through 14. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane, and the fatness of his flesh grow lean. It shall be as when the harvester gathers the grain and reaps the heads with his arm, like the shaking of an olive tree. Two or three olives at the top of the uppermost bough, says the Lord God of Israel. In that day, a man will look to his maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. He will not look to the altars, the work of his hands, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. In that day, his strong cities will be as a forsaken bough, and there will be desolation, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. Therefore you will plant pleasant plants, and in the morning you will make your seed to flourish. But the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of the seas. The nations will rush like the rushing of many waters. But God will rebuke them, and they will flee far away and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind. Then behold, at eventide, trouble, and before the morning, he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who rob us. What was the phrase? Phrase that's used three times over in this passage? In that day, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 9. Now, we've already seen in our studies of Isaiah that when Isaiah uses this phrase, in that day, he is generally referring to the day of the Lord. We've also seen in our studies of Isaiah that the day of the Lord refers to any time that the Lord intervenes in the affairs of nations. So there is an historical aspect to the day of the Lord and also an eschatological or future aspect to the day of the Lord. We certainly saw this in reference to Babylon in Isaiah chapters 13 and 14. Historical Babylon was conquered, but there will be an end time Babylon that will be conquered as well. Read Revelation chapters 17 and 18 in this connection. Here in Isaiah chapter 17, we can see two aspects of the day of the Lord in reference to this alliance between Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. The historical alliance came to nothing as Assyria conquered both nations in Isaiah's day. Syria and Damascus, its capital, was conquered by the Assyrians in 732 BC, and Samaria, capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, was conquered by the Assyrians in 722 BC. The fields would now no longer produce a good harvest, verses 4 and 5. The few people left would be like the few olives left over in the top of the olive trees, verse 6. The people of Syria and northern Israel would be forced to recognize that the God of Israel, whom they had forsaken, was the true God, and the idols that they worshiped were false gods, verses 7 and 8. Their cities would be forsaken, and their land would be desolate, verse 9. Why all of this judgment? Because they had forgotten the true God of salvation and refuge, verse 10. No wonder the land was unproductive, and they were sick and in pain, verse 11. What a contrast we see in verses 12 through 14 for the godly remnant who trust in the Lord. Nations would roar and rush at God's people like mighty waters, but God would rebuke them, and these enemies would flee like chaff before the wind. Verse 14 was literally fulfilled when the Assyrians attacked Jerusalem in 701 BC, as we'll see in Isaiah chapter 37. In the evening, there was terror. But during the night, 185,000 Assyrian troops got sick and died, and in the morning, they were no more. Verse 14. Now, that's the historical aspect to the day of the Lord in that day that we have here. In the end time, history will repeat itself and fulfill the eschatological aspect of this prophecy. Unbelieving Israel will make an alliance with the Gentiles for protection. A seven-year covenant will be made. But in that day, God will bring the alliance to nothing, and a number of Jews and Gentiles will turn to the Lord. And the Lord will preserve and protect the godly remnant from all nations who come against them, even though they come with the roar and rush of mighty waters. So doctrinal point number one was the Lord pronounced judgment against Syria. Now doctrinal point number two is the Lord pronounced judgment against Ethiopia. The Lord pronounced judgment against Ethiopia. Let's read Isaiah chapter 18. Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which sends ambassadors by sea, even in vessels of reed on the water, saying, go, swift messengers, to a nation tall and smooth of skin, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide. All inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, when he lifts up a banner on the mountains, you see it. And when he blows a trumpet, you hear it. For so the Lord said to me, I will take my rest, and I will look from my dwelling place, like clear heat in sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the bud is perfect, he will both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. They will be left together for the mountain birds of prey and for the beasts of the earth. In that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount Zion. Isaiah chapter 18 is not an easy chapter to interpret, but the nation being denounced is the Ethiopia or Cush of Isaiah's day. This was a land of buzzing wings of locusts, verse 1. This was a land divided by the waters of the Upper Nile, verses 2 and 7. This is a land of warriors who were tall and clean-shaven, verses 2 and 7. This is a land of people who made boats from the reeds of papyrus plants, verse 2. Like many other nations, the Ethiopians at that time were pursuing an anti-Assyrian policy. Their ambassadors came in seaworthy papyrus boats to pressure King Hezekiah to join in rebellion against Assyria. The kingdom of Judah was to send a swift message to the Ethiopians that they wanted no part of an Ethiopian alliance against Assyria because Hezekiah was looking to the Lord for deliverance and not to military alliances, verses 2 and 3. Ethiopia would be conquered by the Assyrians, but not Judah, because Judah was looking to the Lord. And when the Assyrians themselves suffered defeat, the world would know, verse 3, but it would be in God's timing that Assyria would be cut down, verses 4 and 5. And it was on the mountains of Israel, surrounding Jerusalem, in 701 BC, that God miraculously cut down Sennacherib and the Assyrian army, as we've already mentioned. The dead were left on the hillsides for the birds and beasts of prey, verse 6. In verse 7, we have some good news for Ethiopia. Let's read verse 7 once again. In that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin, and from a people terrible from the beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount Zion. So here's some good news for Ethiopia. Once again, we believe that Isaiah is looking forward here to the end time. Now, there may have been a partial fulfillment of this prophecy after Sennacherib's defeat at the time of King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah. But we know that in the future millennial kingdom of our Lord, Ethiopia will be one of the nations bringing gifts to Jerusalem. I'm reading from Psalm 68, which is a messianic psalm, and parts of this psalm definitely look to our Lord's future kingdom here on this earth. Psalm 68 and verse 29. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. And verse 31. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Psalm 68, verses 29 and 31. So the doctrinal point was the Lord pronounced judgment against Ethiopia. But we see the good news here for the Ethiopia of the future. Now, what about practical application from these chapters, Isaiah 17 and 18? Let God pick the time. Let God pick the time. In verse 3, God promised that the Assyrian threat would come to an end. But in verse 4, he said that it would be in his time. It would seem to them that God was quietly lingering like the heat of the summer sun and like the dew at harvest time. But the Lord had his reasons for delay. In Isaiah chapter 10, God made clear that he was using the Assyrians to discipline his people Israel. But in his time, God would fulfill his promises and the Assyrians would be removed, just as a grapevine is cut back. Now let me ask you, did you ever feel like God was quietly lingering in answering your prayers and fulfilling his promises, like the long hot days of summer? Listen, God has his reasons for his timing and for what seems like a delay. Let God pick the time.